This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have the beautiful and awesome Helen. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Jason.
Now, I came across you, I saw your poster in town about your yoga classes, which was awesome, but I actually think I came across you first initially on Facebook somehow, because I recognized the name and the website. So it's funny how there's a connection online, and now I'm meeting you in person. Like, I never thought, you know, I've got these this list of people I want to network with. It's just funny how your name was over there, and now you're here.
I ping up where I'm supposed to be, So I'm glad it works.
So it's great to have you here. And I initially wanted to have you on because of your yoga background, but I know you've also got Reiki and reflexology. But before we get into any of that, what got you into this space right now?
This holistic
approach to health and healing, how did you get here?
Wow, big question. I feel like the root of that question is, in its simplest form, probably getting to a point of stress and burnout. So really, why I'm here is very much from my own journey, my own experience, and discovering the tools, the practices, the magic that supported me in those spaces of darkness. And then very much being pulled into service of that to others, whether that's people who are already on their own journeys or people who are yet to find the seeds that need to be planted. So fully from that experience. So I was working in a very intense environment, and I got to a point where I was like, okay, like, this is not me, this is not my life. And that in synchronicity is where I also discovered yoga. So that journey with yoga had been very much from that kind of physical level. I enjoyed to move my body in a way that wasn't as intense as like cardio, and then realized how much it was serving me in the mental health space, paralleled with that period of burnout. And then it was kind of like, okay, I'm going on a mission. I'm going to find out more about this. I want to connect deeper. And that's where it really like threw me into the depths of the connection with spirit. And from there, it was just magic. So
just kept on going.
Yes, yeah, but fully rooted in that physical connection initially, and divine timing.
Yeah. So the intense environment, was that corporate?
What was it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I was actually working in the fashion industry, which there is a lot to say to that. But it was very, very intense workplace and industry to be in. Taught me a lot. And actually in hindsight, I'm able to see how many gifts it gave me, in terms of where I'm at now, in terms of my other work in marketing and social media, and being able to offer that as a service to the community for the greater good, the highest purpose as well. So Blessing, but it was also quite a significant low of my journey as well. So
my background's in IT, and I really enjoyed it, but I think I more enjoyed learning and just going into the things that I didn't know. So I was just very curious, and I for some reason I connected into the world of technology and ones and zeros. And then I got into IT support, and I really enjoyed that because I was helping people. But at the same time, I was going through like a depression and gut issues. But then I came out of that world similar to you, because I found another way of healing. You know, I was told by the doctors, this is your lot in life. Get used to it. And I just didn't want to accept that. And I'm glad I followed my curiosity. So that helped me move away from the medical system and into this alternate holistic approach to my own health. And I'm the same. I'm in service. I'm sharing what I've learned, and I'm finding other voices out there who are sharing a similar approach, which is a holistic approach. What does that mean to you, though? Holistic, what does it mean to have a holistic approach to one's health?
I think for me, it's the oneness of everything in our lives and the impact that has on our physical being, our mental being, our emotional being, and our energetic being, and treating anything that kind of comes through as a imbalance or something that's causing us pain as being represented on all of those levels. So that's obviously if there's, you know, ill health or, you know, an injury or a problem, but then also observing that connection in the sense of maintaining balance consistently. So, you know, daily yoga practice, even if you're not like craving moving your body, it's like to maintain that on a daily basis is going to keep you in balance for when you are in a space where you might be receiving stresses or things that are going to have more of an impact of throwing you out of balance. So holistic health, yeah, it's the connection between all of our beings to maintain well-being.
Yeah, I talk about our different bodies, the physical, the sexual, the emotional, the mental, and also the cosmic, and then the spiritual, which is all of them coming together. And it's looking after each one and nourishing each one and feeding each one and looking after each one and being mindful that you do have these different parts to your being. Yeah, I mean, way back in the day, I was very left-brained, logical, rational, physical, materialistic worldview. Now I'm a lot more open to the whole picture. So I'm not just the other side, which is metaphysical. I'm also trying to link the two worlds together because we don't want to disregard one just because we found something that we think is better. When people find a new diet or new fad, they tend to be zealots and say, this is the way, this is how you do things. And then they throw everything else that they've learnt out the window. And it's like, no, there's some lessons you learned there. Don't throw those away. You can take them with you into this new perspective that you've got. So you're right, yeah, it's about looking after all the different parts of us. And for me, like, holistic is looking at the different aspects of like sleep and movement and diet and relationships and connection to self and people and places. And it's big. It's not just your body and what you see in the mirror and what you get from an x-ray or diagnosis. It's a lot bigger than that.
Absolutely. I feel there's so much to be said to that, where it's like, okay, I've got this problem, this is how to fix it. But actually when you look at what health is in all of those aspects, and I particularly think that energetically, like the people you surround yourself with, the spaces you surround yourself in, being so conscious of all of the everything that you're interacting with is such a key to maintaining that health. But yeah, definitely the union of everything as well. And I would like to see all of the kind of exploration of this journey as building like a toolkit. And it's not to say like you only have one tool at a time, but you've got these tools that you can then call upon when you're moving through the different phases of life. Sometimes you might need more kind of say physical movement or like even cardio stuff. That's a tool because it's like, where is my energy at? What does it need? And yeah, it's such a blessing to be able to gather these as we go through and be able to use them and then also share them as well. So
yeah, that's a good point. You made me think about, you know, people are told to exercise and we need to move more. But I think in the West, we're quite stressed, which is to me meaning we're low energy. But we don't have enough energy to take on the challenges that we're facing. And exercise, if you're doing like intense workouts, that's another stressor, believe it or not, right? It's actually a stress. So depending on your levels of stress, exercise might not be a good idea in that respect. But if we're talking about, there's a guy who taught me holistic health, Paul Check. He talks about working in, which is cultivating energy. So you can exercise, but in a way where you're building. So it's slow, it's conscious, it's mindful. So it's not just exercise, it's what type of movement do you need? What are your energy levels and do you need to cultivate, build them, regenerate, or can you get rid of and expend and make use of some pent up energy that needs to be expressed in a healthy way?
Absolutely. And yeah, I really feel like there's what do we need versus what do we want as well? Because I notice I can be quite a yang person, very lots of doing, lots of busyness. And yeah, I thrive in that environment. But then sometimes that calls me to seek more yang stuff because it feels natural. You know, that feels comfortable for me. And actually my journey with yin yoga has been the biggest teacher and medicine with that. I studied with Yin Culture, Nick Robson, at Anahata Yoga Retreat in Golden Bay. And went on a very intensive journey, which really showed me that, okay, yes, I love the yang, but actually the yin is actually what I need. And that taking that time of stillness and slowing down then enabled the benefits of the yang to really thrive. And that, yeah, yin yoga as a medicine, I think is so much about that balance of what is happening in the world we live in. You know, it is super yang energy, and it's creating a space to really just bring that back into balance for our day-to-day well-being, creating space, connecting with ourselves, all the stuff that is very much we're pulled away from through the busyness of life and the wildness of overstimulation almost of everything that we absorb on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's very yang, eh? Being on our devices, the news, the media. True.
yeah, there's a lot, but we've got this, we've got the tools.
But yeah, it's like sleep. Like, think of how many hours a day you sleep versus how many you're awake, and it's that much yin you need to be that yang. And think of, if you were to cultivate just a little more yin, you get a lot more yang as well. It's like slowing down to speed up, which is something, sounds like a paradox or...
Yeah, like counterintuitive, hey? Like,
yeah.
It's even like the idea of being in the workplace and taking a break when you've got a lot of work to do, and it's like, that doesn't make sense. But actually it makes total sense, because it's taking a breather to fully like recharge, come back to your center to be able to move forward, versus just like kind of sinking a bit deeper as your energy withdraws. Yeah,
it's so true. Okay, yoga. I want to get into yoga, because I think in the West there's this idea that yoga is an exercise that you do on a Tuesday, or it's in your calendar. But for me, you know, to me, yoga is, it's something you're doing all the time. It's a way of being. It's not just movement. For you, what have you come to find yoga is in your life, and how do you teach it?
There's so much to say about yoga as a whole. Like, for me now, yoga is life is yoga. There's not much differentiation in the sense of the depth of learning that I've been blessed to receive, living and working with some incredible teachers, to understand how to apply the principles of yoga to the modern day. So I think there's definitely a place for yoga being its physical, to be received on a physical level. That's how I connected with it first. And it was from that physical connection that I then was led on the journey into its depth. So as much as it's like, yes, it's not just an exercise, but if that can be a seed that's planted for people, then that's magic still. But what I find is really powerful is to draw in the ancient tradition of yoga, which encompasses all of life, from nutrition, from, you know, cultivating focus, from, you know, your daily routine. It gives you the guide for everything that you need. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that potentially gets diluted through it becoming more of a physical practice, or in environments where that's not necessarily shared or nurtured, is that we lose how that can be applied, and can actually is, you know, again, it's that it's so necessary in the world we're in right now to be able to draw upon those ancient gems from the yogic tradition, because they still make sense. And that's why it's still, and I think probably underneath the it's cool and trendy and like great for Instagram or whatever, it's like actually there is an element that I think that's what we're really calling for too. But yeah, so for me, I feel like, yeah, yoga has become something that is the baseline, is the foundation for how I live my life. And as much as it's like, okay, there's the tradition and the philosophy, and it's like, wow, this is really heavy and intense, it's not so much about following it by the book, but actually receiving all of that wisdom and looking at how that applies to the now. And also acknowledging that we are having a human experience, and actually these are also tools to bring us back to our center if things kind of start to spiral off because of stresses of day-to-day life or circumstances or traumas and go, okay, again, I can call upon this to be my guide.
Yeah, it's having something to guide you, which many people have. And yoga is another one of those. And it, I don't know, maybe it's more holistic than other approaches. But just thinking about that differentiation between yoga as an exercise and yoga in its totality, to me it's like someone, but it's good that we have that, as you said, it's planting a seed, it's opening the door, it's getting people an eye into a bigger world. But to me it kind of feels like someone eating real food, but it's not organic. You know, someone going from McDonald's, from junk food to real food, which is awesome, but there's a whole nother world of organic. And then instead of buying it, like buying a meal, an organic meal, how about we, you cook it and you make it? So there's this, there's different stages, you know, this is good, but this is great, and this is better. So yeah, I do love that, that there's practices out there to introduce people to yoga and Tai Chi and Qigong, which are introductions to meditation. I don't know, just to me it feels like, can we call it something else? Because yoga is huge, man, you know, yoga is a bigger thing than just the movement. Can we call it yoga postures? I don't know, it's just me, and I'm very pedantic around words and their meaning. I think words are powerful, and you know, I do my best to say what I mean and mean what I say. So when I hear someone does yoga, I'm thinking, are they doing yoga or just yoga?
I fully feel you, And actually, coming back to your previous question, in terms of how I teach yoga and through the teachings that I receive, I feel like there is a lot of responsibility as a teacher. I use that term very kind of like humbly, or someone who is sharing sharing these teachings from the traditional roots. That's and again with the work I do with Celino Health as well. Sharing the magic the of they're great, cool. So great. But like again, it really reinforces the importance of the roots and the origin of these ancient practices and traditions and, you know, medicines that we're sharing, like in the modern day, like honoring that. And for me, the same applies to yoga. Like it's my responsibility to continue the energy that's been carried forward. So yeah. But yeah, I think, and that's something that I feel like I connect with when I receive classes, you know, is like, okay, this is being, you feel the energy of the teachings when they're kind of, you know, rooted. So
yeah, it's making me think of exercise. How can we get people connected to the root of movement? And I'm just thinking of like pull-ups, and I only started doing that in my early 30s. I couldn't do a pull-up, not one. And then I started to do, I learned how to practice and train on how to do just one. Before I could do a pull-up, like there'd be times I'd be locked outside of the home and my window would always be slightly open and I'd have to pull myself up. It was such a struggle. I had to use my entire body to crawl up. Once I got my pull-ups in and I could do like 10 on my own and I got locked out again, I almost like lifted myself up to the roof. I almost like jetted up. Wow. I didn't realize that was that weak for one, and that, wow, this is actually important strength, like actual body strength. And to me, it's like, why would you want to get yourself in the gym or get yourself moving and to get your get some muscle mass on the body and to make yourself self-reliant? Is because it's a big deal in anti-aging. So a lot of the things that kill those that are a lot older are fractures and falls. And that's because there's not enough bone mass. And the bone mass is connected to muscle mass. So the more muscle mass you have, the more bone mass you have. And I'm not talking about bodybuilding levels, I'm just talking about muscle, just some muscle. If you're using it, then the muscle will be there and the bone will be there. So that's a huge factor there. So trying to get to the root, why are you exercising? To age well. To age well and to be able to look after yourself, not be reliant on a wheelchair or a cane. And why are we doing yoga? Because there's these teachings here that tell you it's everything, right? It's it's part of life. And
I feel like there's there is a lot of intention with yoga as well to encompass all those elements of life, and there is, you know, it varies across lineages, but there's that idea of like keeping the vessel that we're in as best form as it can be to in order to be a channel for spirit, like that's and whatever form you connect that with in, you know, this lifetime, it's that idea of like I'm maintaining my body and my mind as well, like the purification of the mind, the purification of the body, in order to be a channel for spirit, to be of service. Like that's a nice way that I like to think of that kind of physical health. Like this is a body that, and again, it depends on your beliefs with that kind of thing, but this is a body that I've got for this lifetime. Like I'm kind of responsible for it. So like, let's keep it all good.
You're totally responsible for it.
Yeah, only a little bit. No, I mean, totally.
I remember back in the day, I'd always, you know, I'd play the victim card and the victim, and it's everyone else's fault that I'm, you know, I'm not this happy or look this way. And but yeah, I've learned that that's a losing game. So you got to take responsibility, you know, total responsibility, accountability. Yeah. And once you do that, your perspective on things change bigly because you're not waiting on others. Because now it's you. Oh, so it's me. So my, it's funny to say this, my life is my life. Yeah.
What? No.
Say that again. What? My life is my. No, hang on. My life is. Wait. My life is their responsibility. No, 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 no. Your life is your responsibility.
My life is my responsibility.
Yeah. That's, that took me a while to get that one.
We need t-shirts.
But yeah, I like that what you said about before about being a teacher. And I think I'll use that term. I am a humble teacher because it is other people that are doing the healing. So I'm a humble healer. It is other people that are doing the learning as well. We're just that, I like to say, the finger pointing to the moon. We can't actually have them see the moon for themselves. They have to look, they have to, you know, look up, eyes focusing on the moon. All we are the finger pointing to it. And if someone focuses on another person or some teaching, then only that, and never put it into action, they're never going to realize what it's for.
You're never going to see
reality for what it is. And that's all we are. We're just humble teachers and healers.
Yeah, fully, fully. And like, yeah, using the term healer as well very loosely, in that sense of like, I'm just here to like support, like this is all, you are the healer. Like if anyone's a healer, you're the healer. But yeah, it's definitely a word that I guess people connect with in that like seeking sense. So, but
that comes from the Western mindset where we're taught Western medicine. You're sick, you go to this person and they'll make you better.
Yes.
But if you notice when you have a broken bone or, you know, or cut or something, no one does the healing. They support it, but your body does the healing, or you do the healing.
Yeah.
And that's what my 7 holistic lifestyle principles are for, to support that inner healer.
Yeah, and empower, because it's like, it's again, we're almost conditioned to put responsibility on other people for our well-being. Like you go to a doctor, if you see there's less of that empowerment to be like, maybe I'll inquire into myself, like what is wrong with me. And that creates that disempowerment of like, I know myself and I know my own body and I know enough. Like I'm not discrediting there is a place for Western medicine.
No, I call it a great tool for emergency or acute situations.
Yes,
like if I've had a tooth taken out, I can do all the breathing and all the herbs and all that stuff, but if the pain's that strong, I'm going for some Panadol or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we need to like give our physical beings a break to an extent as well. So yeah, there's definitely, it's definitely got its place, but it's also like, there's a imbalance of like disempowerment of your own connection with your body and who you are and what you know about yourself. Like almost to the point of where it's like, don't bother like even like trying, just go to a doctor and they'll tell you what's wrong with you. So which I think, yeah, again, for me personally, it's also been that exploration and wanting to inquire, be curious and listen to myself. And I think again, through the exploration of various, you know, holistic health practices and ways of being, through the yoga tradition, through, you know, education on plants and you know, all sorts, it's giving that confidence to be like, oh, maybe I'll try this, or maybe I'll go and see someone who sits in this space, because I'd like to try something before I have to get to the point of being like, it being kind of critical or whatever. But also I think what also just came to me then was around the use of practice, so like yoga, and cultivating that clear channel also cultivates that confidence and empowerment of that connection with yourself. I feel like it's through yoga that I've and meditation and breath work in particular, my goodness, but it opens up that communication channel with yourself. Like, I feel like I've heard myself through regular practice, whereas maybe in the beginning of my journey I couldn't hear myself, and that was a lot of the reason why I got to a point of like, what is like burnout and what is going on? This is not my life. Who am I? Because it was like,
why
I
am
can't.
I here?
Yeah, yeah. Like, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going?
What I'm hearing when you say that, like, for me, I was in my body, but I never noticed it. I never sensed it. I sensed the outside world, and that's all I saw, all I heard, all I smelt, tasted, and touched. And going through this holistic health journey, I've become more embodied. So I'm not just out there, now I'm in here as well. I mean, I was in here, but I was in such a disconnected state, you know, because I was depressed. So I was in here a lot, stuck in here. I was stuck inside while watching the outside world move on. But now that I've done this holistic health healing, inside is moving, it's flowing, it's not stuck. And I'm sensing inside, I'm feeling, I'm tasting, I'm smelling, I'm touching the inside of my body and being embodied. So that's what I'm hearing when you say that, is we need to be more in touch with what's going on the inside. And not just the voices in our head and this inner God and inner energy, but even just the body. Like, can you feel the heartbeat without checking it on your neck or your wrist? Can you actually feel it? Can you notice the pressure on your feet on the ground or inside your shoes, or, you know, your... just can you feel it? Can you feel your body? Because I never felt it for the longest time.
And I bet so many people would be super surprised to realize how little they feel their body. So, well, I'm here, I'm in it. Like, obviously, I can feel my body. But even the, like, most gentle of kind of, like, practice of, like, giving yourself, like, some gentle touch, like moving your hands up and down your arms, like that can be like a, oh my God, like I'm in my body, like that, feeling those sensations and the felt senses. Yeah, I think it's more common than people might realize how disassociated and how easy to disassociate.
That's the
it
term.
Can be
disassociation.
Yeah. And especially if your mind is super active, because it's like, well, I'm very busy, I'm very here, like. But it's like, if you're not in your body, and it's our body that we are actually, well, you know, is our guide. We hold so much in our body. We hold so much in our body for previous experience. So actually it's our body that is informing our mind. And so our mind is there like, woohoo, I'm running the show. But actually our body, which we might not even be in touch with, is the one sending us all these signals to be like, you're in danger, you're not safe. Actually you're really safe, you're happy. Like, this is great times, based on the experiences that we've had in our life so far. So that connection and like really cultivating that connection with the body, I think, is one of the most important things, and actually feels very prominent in where I'm at the moment, is that, cool, yeah, like the mind and the meditation side of things and tuning into that, that's sweet. But actually, what do I hear when I only listen to my body, and how do I create that connection only listening to my body? And how do I then apply that in day-to-day life? Like, as we like meet people, or we have experiences or have triggers, and it's like, how do you use that moment to heal and to not react, or to, yeah, be embodied versus going through a trauma response or a reaction?
So I think we're talking about being present, eh? And presence. Yeah, and I think in terms of how do we bring it into our everyday lives, it's practice. So I did Qigong for almost 1,300 days. I only stopped because we had a family reunion in Rarotonga, and there was no way I was going to be able to find 20 minutes away from people. But yeah, I almost made it to 1,300 days in a row, and it was like, I can put it down to that practice where instead of reacting to a situation, I can pause, and there's a gap where I can choose consciously my response. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's there. It's like a superpower. And so it's this idea of being present, and how do you want to be in this moment? Or even if you can't choose it, what is happening in this moment? Oh, there I go flying off the handle. Oh, there I go withdrawing. Oh, I'm crying. Okay, this is happening. Whereas before it happened, and you wouldn't even know it's happening because you're in it, you can step back and see yourself doing it. And that's a great beginning. That's a great start to, being more present. And the more you practice this, that's how you can bring it out into the world. And people will notice, they'll see you different because you're able to be a different way.
Mm.
Simply putting, I would put it down to just my consistent effort over time.
Mm. Yeah. And that's something that, again, from the practice of yoga has been so cemented. We held like a sadhana during our time at Anahata, which is daily spiritual practice, essentially. And this was formed around a really beautiful map of, starting with mantra, pranayama, asana, and the meditation. So the intention of the practices in the beginning are to like build up, so you're in a space of like deep meditation at the end. But what was really powerful about the sadhana, it was about the consistency. So you could, using that map as like your foundation, you could potentially, switch in and out different asanas or depending on what energetics you wanted to create and using that as your guide. But actually the chorus thing was like show up on the map, like for whatever you need. It might be you just need to like lie on your front in Vipassana for half an hour and just, have a cry or something like that, but show up on the mat. And actually you're then telling your brain that it's like, I've shown up, I'm showing up every day for myself, for this practice that I need, or for, to create that space for myself and for my healing or for whatever I need that day. And I've committed to myself. And that's where it's the consistency and the long-term consistency that then deepens the healing, deepens the, if you want to call it results or like, whatever you receive from it, but showing up.
Yeah, I got a question. Do you believe is it possible to love someone else if you don't love yourself?
Ooh. No.
The reason why I bring that up is what you just said there made me think of being there for yourself.
Mm.
And if you tell someone else, I'll be there for you. If you're telling someone else you're going to be there for them, are you actually going to be there for yourself? Are you there for yourself first? Are you going to show up for yourself, for what you need? Are you going to show up to fulfill your own needs? And it sounds selfish, but it's not, because it's, it's filling your cup first before you fill other people. Yeah.
I feel like this is such like a juicy question, because I feel like if I sit with it, I'm like, yeah, of course you can love somebody else if you don't love yourself, because
You can say,
but I think you can act it as well.
You can act.
I think it can still come from a place of love, because I almost like, my feeling is that the love you can give to others isn't maybe from a different place of the love you give yourself.
Well, yeah, as soon as you said that. So the love you give, if you don't love yourself, the love you're giving to someone else is not your love. It's a love you've been taught. It's a love that you've been trained to learn. This is love, romantic love, gifting love, a type of love language. You've been taught a certain way of loving, and when you love someone, that's what you mean. But that's not your love. That's not how you love. That's not how you see love. That's not how you love yourself. Because you haven't loved yourself. You haven't found what it means to love. For you, right? To me, love is one of those words like God, where it means a different thing. It could mean many things to many people. So I'm not saying love is this.
Yeah.
I'm saying, what is love to you? And is that what you're giving to others? If you're giving people love and you don't even know what that is, it's just a question I'm posing. Like, what are you giving if you don't know what love is? If you say you love your kids, you love your spouse, and yes, you don't know what that is, or you don't even love yourself in that way, what is it that you're giving?
So I feel like, it's maybe more so like the depth of love that you're able to offer to another if you haven't found that depth of love for yourself. Because I feel like, we've all experienced love in various forms. Like, it could be just in like a kind act, or, we've experienced love in all its different forms, in different ways, in different times, to different levels. And we would have had that imprinted on us. So like what you're saying about, we can show love in what we've received, but actually, that depth of love to be able to show yourself is almost like another level, because it's only coming from within you. And so it can't be constructed from any external influence, like even love from like your parent or like a friend. It's like, this is a unique kind of love because it's the love that I can, that's come from within me.
It's a unique kind of love.
which actually I think is maybe what makes it so scary, right? Because, or scary or barriers to it, if that's, you know, part of your journey. Because it's like, I don't understand this because this, I don't know how to express it because it has to come from within me. So that draws in elements of like trust of self and confidence of self or connection with self even. So yeah, interesting. That's actually, yeah, the uniqueness of it is what maybe makes it harder or...
Because in the West, there's an idea of what love is. It's to me, the mainstream idea of love is romance. It's marriage.
Mm.
It's it's kind of like ownership, but then that's just the mainstream idea. I'm not saying this is a person's in the West idea, but then one of my favorite questions when I meet people is to ask them this question of, what does love mean to you? So when you say you love someone, or when they say they love you, what are you saying or what are you hearing? And I get so many different answers, you know. Can I ask that of you? What does love mean to you?
Yeah. Whoosh, okay. What does love mean to me?
And you may not have an answer. Some don't.
Yeah. I think, love to me, I think, is around sharing of energy, sharing of experience, sharing of connection. I think... And that comes in the form of how we show love. We want to express it, right? Like, that's how we want to communicate our love for someone. We want to express it.
Communicate and express what? That's the question.
Okay.
Like, and what you said was sharing.
Yeah.
Sharing connection. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's a tricky one. Okay. Give me one sec. I'm going to sit on this for like...
Do you want me to share mine? Or?
Yes, yeah. Give me some time.
I've had some time to think about things, and one of them is love, because it's, you know, like I said, it's one of those words like God that you just don't think about. You just take it as gospel. Oh, this is what God is, and this is what love is. But it's your life, and you have a unique perspective of life, and what you said, a unique type of loving and receiving and giving. And, you know, I've got this holistic framework of love. It's three things. It's acceptance. It's forgiveness. And it's gratitude. So with acceptance, that means being present to reality as it is and seeing people for who they are. So when someone says they love me, or if I say that to someone, I'm accepting them and they're accepting me in this situation, however I am and however they are. It's also forgiveness, which comes down to compassion and understanding. And that's the bridge. That's the connection there. That's the main crux of love, is that bridge and connection where you're understanding the other side, you have compassion for the other side, where you're seeing each other as almost one. So that's what I'm hearing and saying as well. We're one. I see you. I understand you, and you me as well. And lastly, it's that gratitude, is that joy, is that feeling of abundance. Like, man, we got so much here. You know, when I'm saying that to someone, you give me so much, you fill me up. And when they say it to me, I'm feeling, oh, is that how you see me? Like, I'm filling you up. You have gratitude for me. So it's not just one thing, right? I've got these three things, and it could be more, but that's what I've sort of, for me, I've honed it down to these things, where it's acceptance, it's understanding, and it's just having joy. It's really being in that space. And other people have, you know, other answers I've got, it's when someone's got my back. It's kindness. It's the one and all universal cosmic energy. You know, there's all these different answers, and none of them are wrong. The reason why I pose this question is awareness. Do people know what they mean, or when they hear it and when they say it, what does love mean to them?
Absolutely, because like you said, it's got so much construct around what it should look like, and I think that's a lot of what maybe there's attachment to that. It's like, love is only love if it looks like this. It looks like a relationship. It looks like for me, love is connection. Love is connection, and I really resonate with your sharing on the acceptance, because it's unconditional connection. That is the purest form of love, because it's not about I love you or I'm connected to you because you do this for me, or because it's like I'm unconditionally connected to your unique essence.
Yeah, that's like the Greeks said that word agape, where it's like an unconditional godly love, where it's just open love. No matter what you do or say or however you are being, there's love there.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, yeah, that's absolutely perfect, because it's almost like I can really call upon that feeling of love through faith in the divine spirit, whatever it is that you connect with. For me, it's like the whatever is up there, the divine spirit. And it's like there's no definition of what that feeling is, because I can't explain it. It's just there, and it's mad, and it's wild, it's magic. But that is love. But then being able to draw upon that to apply in life, hey, like to everyone that we're around and to everything that we're around, because love is not just between people. It's like love for this experience, love for the land that we live on, love for, like, it's all love, it's all the same. But we almost
it's all connection.
Yeah,
if I go by your definition, that's
And actually, what, leading on from that, from the power of yoga, the power of practice, it's reinforcing and reaffirming that connection, where the world around us can cause disconnection. So it almost, it's connecting on that deeper level, so that those, that connection of love feels more apparent versus distracted from by like social media or
busyness.
So
it's like a conscious love, eh?
Yeah. Oh, yes, conscious love. Yes. Okay, I want a t-shirt with that one instead.
Well, that's what I heard.
Yes, fully, far.
Being conscious of the connection that you're creating.
Yes.
Because there's people that say fear is the opposite of love, and it comes from A Course in Miracles. And while I love the teachings in that book, fear is still a connection, right?
Mm.
Hate is still a connection.
Mm.
So to me, you know how they say everything is love? They're right. Everything is connection. Even the, if you want to label it negative and bad, it's still love. It's still a bridge. There's still that connection. So what's the opposite of love? It's apathy, disconnection. There is no fear. There's no hate. There's nothing. You're numb. You're practically dead.
Mm, yes. I love that. And it reminds me of a book called The Art of Letting Go. And in that book, he discusses how there's this spectrum of emotion, like the emotions that we label. So, and apathy is the lowest vibration.
Really?
Emotion that we can experience.
Yeah.
And then above that is fear and shame and guilt, and it rises up to anger, to, and then up into more what you perceive as positive emotions, like joy, and then up, all the way up to bliss. So there's, it creates this, I don't think that was his definition, but that was the definition he was calling upon in this book. And what he was expressing was that actually, okay, yeah, if we're feeling apathetic and we move into that emotion of fear, yeah, it's still a low vibration emotion, but we've moved up. We're like rising our vibration, even by stepping up into anger. Anger is a higher vibrating emotion than apathy. So actually, you'd rather be angry than, or you'd rather be, yeah, angry or than apathetic, because that's just,
you'd rather be anything than apathetic.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've
pretty
been
much
there. It's a dark place. You don't want to go there.
100%, 100%, same. So it's, yeah, viewing those kind of, what, you know, is not a contrasting of emotions, or not this is this, like love and hate. It's actually like the vibration of those,
it's,
and
different
then,
frequencies, different levels of vibration, different energies. Whereas apathy is like a zero point. It's it's potential. But if you live there, there's nothing. There's,
yeah. And it's a space where it's like very hard to get yourself out of as well, because you're apathetic. And it's like, what do I do?
I don't know where we're going there. I think we have time to touch on Reiki and reflexology. But
yes,
you're teaching here yoga in terms of the different chakras.
Yes.
Well, where'd you get that idea? Like, what made you want to focus on each one? Because I know yoga teaches those as well, the different chakras.
So, yeah, that does kind of segue into my connection with Reiki as well. Because, I have been offering Reiki for 5 years or so. And it was through my teacher who attuned me back in the UK that I really started to dive deep into the chakra system, which is, for me, is just like such a clear guide for our energy body, on like that very kind of like base level, you know. We have thousands of different chakras, but even connecting with those seven core chakras is like, okay, how am I feeling right now? Okay, like I think my root chakra is feeling a bit funky. So my intention with these classes is to share some of that knowledge, some of that educational side of the chakra system, but also how to embody that through sequences which are kind of tailored around targeting the physical areas or the areas of release for the different chakras. Because again, through the energy work I do with Reiki, and then also reflexology, whilst that's using the feet as the map of a body, it's still the intention of that is to be unblocking and clearing and allowing that energy body to flow. And for me, that feels like such a important part of our holistic well-being, is like as we move through life, like consistently checking in with our energetic centers and clearing out any blockages to allow our life force energy to flow. Like that's when things start to get stuck or blocked, or we become unclear or feel out of balance, is when we get this build-up of like stagnant or stuck energy on whatever level, either from day-to-day stresses or traumas. It's like if we can monitor that and nurture that as we go, like it's only a good thing. So
So it's teaching people like a fundamental of the seven chakras, so that once those are sort of more aligned and in flow, everything else can be a little bit easier. It's the starting with the basics. It's kind of like what I teach with my holistic lifestyle principles. They're fundamentals. You know, I spent 10 years learning all these different healing practices and modalities, and there's all these like common ideas, and I can see how those interact, and they're talking about the same things sometimes, the exact same things in China and in India and even in the West. And it's like, okay, so instead of teaching all these different things, let's put this into one simplified teaching, so that people can go away and just focus on that one teaching instead of having to hear it 10 times from different places. This is it here. See if it works for you. Right? I'm all about experimentation. See if this works. And that's good.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's beautiful as you explore across different modalities, or the ancient teachings, the ancient texts, and you see these like common ground, and you're like, I think these guys knew something. Like it was like unspoken. It's just like it's there. Yeah, so
there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's really, really powerful to be able to. And again, it's that kind of simplifying it, drawing it all together, and going, look, like I've done all the like, I've looked into all of this. Yeah. This is what I've got to offer.
I haven't created anything new. I've just cultivated.
Yeah, and to make it digestible. Yes, hey, because I think like we've been talking about, like it's not so much about like everyone should go and like go and live in an ashram, go and learn yoga. It's like, actually, like it's making it easy for people to draw those key like teachings or the key like life principles into a very busy modern life for their well-being. And if that can be like something that, you know, myself as a yoga teacher, or like yourself as a teacher, it's like, if we can make that easy for people, be the bridge, be the gardener, the seed planter, then like that's the mission. Hey, like,
that's the mission.
We're on a mission.
Mission accepted.
I don't think I even accepted it. I'm just on it. So but it's amazing. And that's kind of the life work as well. It's continuing that journey to explore and to, and for my own healing as well. But in order to be able to bring that into a world which might not have the space to seek it themselves, you know.
Yeah. Mm. And the last thing I want to touch on is the word wild. We've chosen that for your website. What is your website, by the way?
My website is wildwomanholistichealing.com.
Wildwomanholistichealing.
And yeah, I'm glad you asked this, actually, because it's quite an interesting, and even when I was trying to think of, what do I want to call myself, or like what do I want to label this, offering as? And I came up against quite a lot of like, wild needs to look like this. Like wild woman is like, and I'm not going to lie, I do like to go and feral around in the bush and stuff. So there's a lot of it. But it's also what I really want to champion is that we all have our inner world. We may be, you know, we may like to, we all have that within us, and it's about reconnecting, that reconnection that I feel really called, and like that's my service, is for us to connect with our inner world in whatever form that takes. It doesn't have to look a certain way, it doesn't have to be a certain way. We are all wild beings, and we are all in a world that is maybe like detaching us from that, and that is what is so important to connect with through whatever practices, through yoga, through our own healing. We're connecting with our wildest self. It doesn't have to be scary.
I like that though, your inner wild, because there's a lot of talk of the inner child, and I think they're the same, because the child is wild. They're their innate wild self.
Yeah, it's our purest form, hey, before like the layers of, you know, life can kind of dampen us or like shape us in a certain way, call in all that fear. It's like our wild is our uniquest expression before,
if you're brought up in the West around, you know, in the concrete jungle or in suburbia, your inner wild is suppressed because there's all these closed spaces. Whereas I'd imagine if you're a kid and you stayed outdoors and lived in nature your whole life, you'd be wild, but in a civilized sense, you know.
Yeah,
you'd be because there's nothing constraining you, nothing restricting you, everything's open, and so your wildness would never be tamed.
Yes.
Or maybe it'd be tamed in a conscious way. Yeah.
Well, that's it, hey, as well. It's like, it's the wildness is not, I think there's this connotation with being wild as it being like kind of
out of control.
Yeah. And it's like, no, that's not, we are wild. We can be wild in a very, you know, like you said, conscious way, in a way that has purpose, and it's not just about being like bouncing all over the place. And I think the archetype of the wild woman really resonates with me, in the sense that it's like she's wise, she's connected to the earth, she's all of these principles that we do lose in our modern society and do keep us connected with ourselves and the land. That's what the wildness is. It's not scary, it's not out of control, it's not a certain form, it's just us.
And on that note, we'll leave it there. We can just keep going, I'm sure.
Happily.
Where can people find you or look to work with you?
Absolutely, yeah. So my website is wildwomanholistichealing.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, so feel free to search on there. I am mobile as well, so I can bring offerings to you. Happy to work one-on-one. And then I have classes and offerings coming up over the next year, and at lots of the festivals as well, and I'll be there bouncing around the field. So
I'll see you at Resolution.
Absolutely, be at Resolution, awesome. Revive, Soul Rise, and beyond. So yeah, and feel free to reach out. My personal is Helen Archard as well, so come and find me.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on, that was awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. Beautiful chats.
Yeah, namaste.
Namaste.
Thanks once again, Helen, for coming on the show. That was an awesome conversation. You're a beautiful human being. Wildwomanholistichealing.com is Helen's website. If you want to learn more about her yoga teachings, her Reiki and reflexology services, highly recommend her. And that's it from me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.